Blog Talk Radio.
All right, I like it when I see the good side.
Hello, how are you?
This is a man's world.
Hello?
This is a man's world.
Hold on a minute.
But it would be nothing. Nothing. Without a woman or a girl. You see, man made the car to take us over the road. Man made the train to carry the heavy load. Man made the electrolyte to take us out of the dark.
Hello.
Hello.
Who's on the line?
Marvin here.
This is David Allen. Hattie should be on shortly. If she isn't already, who opened up the conference call?
Jamie.
Oh. So, where's Hattie, my dear?
Right here. There she is.
Okay.
Open up my mic for me.
Hello.
Hey, Mother Dunning. Mother Hattie, I mean. Hey,
hey there. How's everybody doing?
Good, good. I'm sending Sarah the number right now.
Okay. David, are you ready to go?
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
All righty. So, what do we have here today? First talk.
All right, you want me to start with Executive Order 13603?
Absolutely. And I'm going to mute my phone because I've got some background noise, so you guys have at it.
Okay. Executive Order 13603 is... National Defense Resources Preparedness Executive Order 13603, which is the formal name for this executive order. It's an order of the United States President signed by President Barack Obama on March 16, 2012. The purpose of the executive order is to delegate authority and address national defense resource powers and programs under the Defense Production Act of 1950. Executive Order 13603 provides the framework and authority for the allocation.
Your recording has reached the maximum length. To replay your message, press 1. To delete and re-record your message, press 3. For delivery options, press 4. To send a fax.
Hello?
Yes.
Can I be heard?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. I got some notice about that obviously has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. In any case, as I was saying, Executive Order 13603 provides the framework and authority for the allocation or appropriation of resources, materials, and services to promote national defense. Contrary to a few initial claims otherwise, The order appears to update long existing directives that have been issued as far back as the Truman administration and makes no claim to allowing the federal government to confiscate private property or to declare martial law. It replaces, wait a minute, I'm having some trouble reading here. It doesn't authorize the declaration of martial law in particular. The executive order removes the name of the Federal Emergency Management Act, or FEMA, from the previous orders and replaces it with references to branches of the Department of Homeland Security to bring the previous orders up to date with recent changes in the structure of the federal government. The initial act, National Defense Resources Preparedness Act, was enacted in 1950. So this is 65 years after the initial act. This act has been updated in most of the administrations, including the Clinton and the Bush administrations. But I've also seen articles about how Obama is authorizing martial law, slave labor, confiscation of property, and everything else the white establishment can think of to discredit him. Of course, none of this has happened. This particular act was signed, as I said, on March 16, 2012. So that's over 3 years ago. However, in consistent with everything else they're accusing him of, they're attacking him. When I say they, I'm talking about mainly the Republican Tea Party right, with all of these ridiculous, outlandish claims that, of course, involve fears of stuff that never happened and in all likelihood never will, at least not under this executive order, which I'm sure will be updated again under future presidents. Of course, it's quite interesting that I don't recall, not that I'm a big political buff, but I don't recall Clinton or Bush being accused of trying to establish slave labor and martial law and confiscating property and so forth. But when old black Obama does the same thing, then all of a sudden he's like another Adolf Hitler. So that's what I have to say about this executive order 13603.
Hello.
Hello?
Yes. Is anyone there?
Comments? Yes.
Who am I speaking to? This is Canty.
So basically, what does that all mean, David? Can you give us a summary and, like, two sound bites?
Well, it's just... what it says it is, National Defense Resource Preparedness Executive Order, and it basically gives the government authority for the allocation and appropriation of resources, material, and services to promote national defense. That's the soundbite.
Anybody have any thoughts on that? Ashira, Marvin, Edward?
Well, it's pretty much too voluminous for me to talk. There's so much involved in it. But I've heard the same claims and read about them on the Internet continuously and seeing people, I might add, both so-called blacks and so-called whites lambasting the president for with these kind of accusations and everything. I never really did research enough to see whether they were valid or not, so I can't say, but I've seen these claims made also, and David shed it about as much light on it as I know, but I have seen these outrageous, crazy claims about what he's doing, and essentially I don't, if that sort of thing is being done, it started way before him. He couldn't possibly initiate anything like that. You know, that's all I have to say about it.
Initiate what things? I'm new to the conversation.
These edicts, these policies, or these laws that would enact mass incarcerations, martial law, you know, this, that, and the other thing, all of these sort of things. I've seen these accusations made. That's what everybody's saying. I've read things from the extreme right, you know, and the Republicans, the Tea Party, which essentially is nothing more than American fascists. They're not conservatives. That's just a euphemism for fascists.
They're
and also from some of our so-called black people also making these kinds of, that's what he's talking about. I've seen that.
What they are conserving is white supremacy.
Yeah, well, right. They might be conserving that, but the term conservative from a political standpoint is just a philosophy that has a long history within American culture. It has nothing to do with what they're talking about. These people are out and out fascists. The Republican Party is nothing more than an American fascist party. It's extremely fascist. People like Ronald Reagan and Pat Buchanan, they're not conservatives. They're fascists. It's in the Bushes. Those people are fascists, but we tend to use euphemisms like ethnic cleansing instead of genocide and conservatism instead of fascism, and that's the point I'm trying to make.
Undocumented workers talk about a euphemism.
Go on.
I don't know who's speaking. This is David Aline, and I was just adding to what Marvin was saying, talking about euphemistic phrases. You know, the most current one is calling illegal aliens undocumented workers. Another one is calling people gay.
Yeah.
Because that's what
yeah.
they feel comfortable with instead of calling them homosexuals, which is what they are. I mean, they can call themselves gay, they can call themselves joy boys, you know, happy people or whatever. Just don't call them homosexuals or faggots or else, you know, you're liable to, you know, have the wrath of the media on you and, you know, people out after you, you know, in a lynch mob.
Well, I'm fine. Hello. Hello, can you hear me?
There is some very serious background noise, very heavy static. I don't know where it's coming from. Fortunately, it isn't me. But I think that's what's making people wonder if they can be heard.
Yeah. One of the things about what you were saying, all of these executive officers, okay, what do they have to do with Black America? Okay, they have nothing to do with us. We continuously try to piggyback on issues that's not particularly discerned by our own community. We have issues within our community that does not include a whole lot of this foolishness about the Europeanized Anglo-Saxon politics. We didn't create one of these, neither one of these parties. We had nothing to do with none of these parties. They allowed us to win for an inclusion, for an illusion, and we're still trying to play a game with somebody who created this for themselves. There is no such thing as democracy. That's not even a real word, because if you look up the origin of the word and you see where it came from, even over there when it came from the Greco-Roman era, it only meant that a handful of people controlled the politics of the masses. So where do we get the notion from that this is it, that a democracy or a democratic government is going to represent people of African descent? We got to pull our ears out of our hind passes. Because the more time that we waste on this, the less time we have to figure out what's going to happen to our children in the future. We spend time on a whole lot of foolishness, and we don't have time for that.
I hear you, brother.
We have no time to worry about what's going on in the churches. We have no time to worry about what's going on with the preachers. We have no time, you know, we had a program the other night, no time to worry about what somebody's going to wear. All of those things are irrelevant. They have no meaning to us as revolutionaries. If we like what we are saying and we like what we're doing, then that's okay, and I'm okay with it. But don't try to be used and use elements associative of trying to still be included in somebody's system that was not designed for you. It's not going to work. It didn't work then. It's not going to work now. It's not going to ever work.
So is we dealing with a certain element of blacks that want to live in a fantasy world, and or be like Rip Van Winkle. They don't want to be awakened by the fact that we are in grave danger of being annihilated. I call it our third Holocaust. We have not gotten over our first, short of our second Holocaust, which was when the government guaranteed program, fearing a second civil war, took our reconstruction rights away from us and gave the land that was given to us back to the former slave owners. And then
first of all, let me correct you, brother. There was never no land ever given to black people. That 40 acres and a mule was only a myth. There was never any land given to slaves on the backs of no Civil War or no Emancipation Proclamation or no Reconstruction rights. They never gave us any land. They were supposed to give us land. It never materialized. We've been running around with that 40 acres and a mule philosophy for, I don't know, 100 of them.
I didn't say the 40. I didn't mean the 40 acres. I was saying that I was meant to understand that the land that was once owned by the slave master was given to the freed slaves as a compensation. But when the Reconstruction was taken away from us, that same land that we had our own control over that land was given back to the former slave master. And then the lynchings began, and the Ku Klux Klan was created. But they were told that the North, with the Stars and Stripes flag, which is ran by Republicans, told the South, ran by Democrats, the proviso was if they never ever talk about ever seceding the Union again, the North was going to pull the Union troops out of the South that was guaranteeing blacks their Reconstruction rights. And they told the South, ran by Democrats, you could do to the blacks whatever you wanted to, just do not ever talk about ever seceding from the Union. Now, we got to really study the Reconstruction period. We got to study the Dred Scott decision, because those two components, black people, should be basic knowledge amongst blacks, don't know this. Don't know that there was great fear of the former slaves doing very well for those blacks who had properties, owned their own job, were sending their children in fine lace dresses and the boys in three-piece suits. There's a town called Black Wall Street outside Tulsa, Oklahoma. They were doing so well, they would lend black people that area would lend pioneer oilmen loans. But what happened was, blacks didn't want to believe that Martin Delaney's prophecy would be correct, that the government would turn on us, take away our land, destroy our jobs, that we own our jobs, and that they would come after us with a great vengeance because black people were hated because we were doing so good, like overnight we were doing so good, and the North fearing the Second Civil War. That's the major reason why they took away our Reconstruction rights. And black people didn't have it then, and we don't have it now. We never had political or legal protection.
Do you know why they took away? Do you know one of the reasons why they took away your Reconstruction rights? Because the South actually, the Southern candidate, the presidency of the United States, he won the election. His name was Robert Tilden, T-I-L-D-E-N. He won the presidential election that year. Because most people don't even understand, we don't even need a president until the day before inauguration. When he won the election, the deal that was cut was for the troops to be removed from the South.
All right.
Not so much as to take our land, but so much as to initiate states' rights back to this. Some of these states have come back into the Union as far as we're concerned. My problem is that what are we going to do about our situation? When we talk about these things are already etched in stone. When Roosevelt behaves, the only way that he became president was because of the fact that Wall Street controlled the economics.
That's right.
And when Wall Street controlled the economics, what they said was that we did not want a Southern president, a Democrat, at this time to be the president of the United States because it would look like that we did not win the Civil War. The North never won the Civil War. The South won the war. Because they were Because they were the only one that received anything of good from the whole Civil War. The South received everything, the presidents, and they received their states' rights. And that's what it was all about, states' rights. It wasn't about freeing any Negro from any enslavement. But I'm done.
Okay, Shira?
Hey, Shira.
That was well said. Hey, that was well said.
What David
was speaking about, I did look it up online, and I guess to kind of put it in layman's terms, this executive order 13603 essentially is being called like a slave labor force order, whereas people with experience, basically you can just be called to work for free based on your experience and based on your labor. You can be held to work for free without being paid, so basically reenacting a slave act. And it's just going to be all tied to the FEMA and all of that. So to employ persons of outstanding experience and ability without compensation, and to employ experts, consultants, or organizations to work without pay. So essentially that's what that act is. I did want to make a comment because, Brother Brown, you mentioned about the show the other night referencing how women dress. The reason why we had that topic is because of Women United, what we're trying to do is uplift women and empower women. And what we've noticed as women who have been in the church or are in church is a lot of these young girls, they are dressing inappropriately at church. They're dressing inappropriately outside of church. And if we're going to do anything to rebuild our community, which a lot of people say it starts with the women, we got to change the mindset of the women. If women are dressing in hoochie dresses going to church, then it's something inside, it's something internal that they're struggling with, and that needs to be fixed, because if people can't fix themselves, how are they going to work on the community?
That's part of why we had
that whole discussion. It's not just picking on women because they're wearing hoochie dresses. We're dealing with the real issue. Why are you buying hoochie dresses, period, whether you're wearing them to church or to the club? Why do you feel like you have to expose yourself like that? So that's a deep internal issue. It's the same thing with women relaxing and perming their hair, because we've been taught that we're so ugly and our hair is so ugly, so we've been forced to adopt this whole
European
this white European look. So it's psychological. So that show was really dealing with the psychological issues
what should have been pointed out also, some of these sisters wearing these coochie dresses, they get very uptight.
And those suggestive sandals, like you mentioned, Candy.
Yeah. And,
I'm going to take a picture of my suggestive sandals.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, wait a minute. I got to hear the suggestive sandals. I don't believe this.
Oh, yeah. They are designed with the various color stones in the sandals, very much illuminating cross in the top of the foot. And
that look like that.
Huh?
I just purchased something that looked like that. They have little rhinestones in the front.
To give it the accompanying attraction, your toes must have these loud painted colors on the toenails.
Well, I don't do that. I just wear the French
look
regular
like, look
colors.
Like the toes look like batteries. Look like batteries come included. You know, with this illumination.
Oh, okay, so that's for the foot fetish people. Okay, thank you. Go on. Let's get serious.
No foot fetish. The idea that women want to be seen to be attracted to whoever they want to attract. But what I'm saying is that a lot of women get very uptight when they feel a man's eyes glaring at their rear bumper guards. And if a man says something, she really wants to really try to pull the dress down. What can you pull down? There's no material to pull down. You know, it's right up, almost half up your butt, and then you've got these sisters with these midriff tank top shirts on. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I call it wear if you dare. And a lot of women are now daring.
Make a couple of comments before we run out of time, Kent, if I can, on a serious tip about the Sandra Bland case. You know, here in Wallace County, Texas, we are going to have tomorrow on the Lotus Play Show at blacktalkradio.net, Black Talk Radio Network, rather. We'll have Judge Dwayne Charleston, who is leading the fight to have the sheriff, Glenn Smith, to have him terminated, as well as the cop, Insignia, who illegally pulled Sandra Bland over. We're going to have him on the show. He's going to break down and delineate the oppressive history of Waller County, how whereas the cemeteries are still segregated there, and the black funeral homes for over 100 years have picked up the black bodies, and the white funeral home picked up the white bodies. A judge sent an order out, gave an order for the, as normal, for the black funeral home to pick up Sandra Bland's body, but a white funeral home defied that court order and went and picked up her body and kept her body for about 4 hours. So all of this talk about this marijuana in her system and all of that, it could have been placed in her system during that time, if there was even any marijuana in her system. And anyway, who gives a damn if it was marijuana in her system? It's legal in 34 states.
Yeah. That's why her lawyer is not doing his job to get a show cause order why the cops should not be arrested, because the trail is getting real cold. Justice delayed is justice denied. The lawyer, I'm sorry to say, gives me the facade, or the certification, that he's not a social engineer. He's the opposite.
Parasite. Let me drop another bomb on you that we got from out of Chicago, from some people that went to the funeral. Brother Pascal, who's there in Chicago, they're going to have a show tonight. As soon as I get the number, I'll send it out to you guys.
Okay.
But the family out there, from what we've heard from our people in Chicago, the family there, Sandra Bland's family, specifically had the funeral at a small church in a white area because they didn't want a lot of people coming to the funeral. So what you're speaking about, Kent, about this lawyer, it seems as if the family
may, you know, kind of have some of those little tendencies that we see in some of the families here lately, that, you know, they kind of fall into the other side of this, not really wanting to, you know, stick with the black community in terms of let's really seek some justice on this.
It's bigger than Sandra Bland. It's bigger than Sandra Bland. It is the continuing oppression and suppression of black people, not having being considered that we are human beings first, and that the respect and the decency, as well as human receiving, respecting us as human beings, where we would have the courtesy to know that a white woman. Now, I was surprised but pleased that Bernie Sanders said something that I don't think Hillary would have the guts to say it. He said a middle-income white woman would not have suffered the incident, Ms. Bland suffered, Sandra Bland suffered. So I'm talking about, here's one white man is telling us something that we know is true. And I'm waiting for the pastor of the church where she worshiped all her life in Chicago, outside Chicago. I get suspicious of blacks who are able to move outside the hood and now do not relate to anything of justice and liberation causes.
What you guys are saying is
they don't want any justice that they see.
No. They want to have the facade of fighting for justice, but when it boils down to the final finish, it will be hush money.
Okay, the hush money, because I was getting ready to say we need Edwards. To kind of work with that piece there, because he's done some amazing things from what I understand with Belinda, this lady. Edward, are you on the line?
But I would like to say something too for y'all get shit off. Too.
Okay, I'm sorry, Shira. I'll let you go on, and then Mother Dunning, go on, and I'm gonna be quiet.
Go ahead, Mother Dunning. Because Mother Dunning hasn't had an opportunity to speak.
Okay, but Sandra Bland, pastor, I want Kenta to know, Sandra Bland, pastor, was on CNN, and he said everything that they saying about Sandra Bland is out of the ordinary. So the pastor have spoke up, and he's saying that the stuff that they saying is not normal. He said that's not the standard that he knew. And that wasn't the standard that left a few days ago. He said, so a lot of that stuff they're saying, they don't believe it.
All right,
and
so
I
what
don't
is
think
he,
the family is, but listen, I don't think, because I know we're running out of time, I don't think the family is trying to sell out. What I think is what happened is just like with Eric Gardner. This is my opinion now. I think is a lot of people know that they try to seek justice, but they don't get justice. So ready for them to come up short, they'll take money because they saying, you ain't going to get no justice anyway. At least let me walk away with something, because they know if you try to fight and go get justice, y'all, all we got to do is look back over all the cases.
But you don't get no justice as long as you have the mentality that the money will bring you justice. See, you don't have to accept the money. That's on you. Now, what happens is this. They give you an ultimatum in these cases. First of all, if there's no indictment by the state or the city government, and there's no indictment by the federal government, then
you
have no way to
get it. That's what I'm talking about.
You're not going to have anything to bring it to court. There's no other avenue. If the state doesn't bring it to court, and the Fed don't bring it to court, then you've got to take the money, because you will walk away with nothing. They have given black people these hand-me-down, symbol-ass ultimatums, and we have to take them. And that's what the bottom line is. You have to ultimatum, because if the president and the U.S. Attorney General does not bring any charges against any of these atrocities that happen to black people, then nobody else is going to bring them. So when it happens to us, when it happens to us, we are not left with no ultimatums. It's not about your lawyer. It's not about who's going to prosecute the case. It's not about anything. If nobody's going to bring it to court, then you have no case.
All I'm saying is, Brown, if we are going to just fall for the okie doke and get the take the money and run, rather than have sit-ins, all kinds of disrupting a normal service. Normal service.
You can have any kind of sit-ins or marches. Every death that they have had numerous marches, they've had riots, they have had burning up. What results in them? Every case somebody got, they had to
I'll give you a case on Staten Island, Eric Garner. The family of Eric Garner had a strong case against the city. They even gave the figure of not $100 million. It says it was gave served notice to the city that they were going to.
Okay, but what was it? Did anybody bring him a charge?
No.
Okay,
but what I'm saying is
what I'm telling you, if you don't bring any criminal charges against these police officers on the state or federal level, then you don't have a case. You talk with Alton Maddox, you ask him. Ask him if he don't care. If nobody can bring charges against these police in a state or federal court, there are no charges to be brought. So what are you going to do?
What I'd like to know is what we as a people are going to do to prevent and protect us, prevent us from continuing to be, prevent us from just continuing these continuing attacks. And how we're going to protect each other. That's what I'd like
yeah.
to know.
Well,
I mean,
well, one of the things we fail to realize, is we live behind enemy lines. We don't have no supply line.
Right.
We don't have no home base, nothing like that. So within the areas that we live, if we're smart, we will become the police. That should be the ideal job for some of these brothers coming up. Become the police. Take it over. You know, if you're going to stay there, that's the only thing you're going to do, because you have an occupying army policing you. Become the police
well,
and then move, you know, that seems like one of the only things I could see them doing,
yeah.
you know.
That's
it's
a good,
simple as
that's
that.
A good solution.
Police,
but you know, what they do.
Police yourself. You know, that's
yeah,
it.
What they do to prevent a young black man becoming a police officer, every little thing that they can find that could be a detriment for a young man to be, or considered to be on the force, you know, is a minor arrest. Drinking in public, or something even more serious, maybe marijuana.
Hey, if there's enough of us that don't fall within that realm, to where they it would not be able to be gotten around. Let me tell
true
you
that,
something, brother.
That.
Any test,
true
any
right.
ju- any anything we do better than everybody else. It's
true
as
that.
Simple as that. So believe me, there'll be enough people to get a high enough mark on them tests. Because I know I'm speaking from experience, and who can do the job, who they can't use those. Petty things against,
yes.
And
yes.
that seems to be one of the first things we need to do. That
mm-hmm.
works, but you can't have somebody else policing you, just like you can't have somebody else teaching your kids in school.
You
got to become the teachers, man. You
yeah,
got to do
you're
that.
Right, you're
stuff.
Right. You're right. But see, but as long as we, as a people, since Reconstruction right was taken away, even before Reconstruction, during Reconstruction, we never had political or legal protection, and to this date, we still do not have political or legal protection. We have these blacks. Who have prominent positions, but all they are selected officials.
Well, that's because
so
the masses of our people don't hold them accountable. That's what we have to do. The masses
yeah,
of our people have to hold them
but
accountable.
The ones,
I mean, come
but
on.
The ones,
you know, there has to be some discipline within our community to
yeah,
do these
oh yeah,
things.
But the,
it's as simple as that. We lack discipline, and
yeah.
that's one of the main things that our problem is. Since,
the
like the brother
has,
said, we're outside of the system, and
but,
none of that stuff will work for us. It has, it don't hardly
yeah.
work for them. It won't work for us. So if we have to work outside of that and have an infrastructure that will work for us, we need to do
yeah.
that and whatnot.
But the one who
but
has the power, the one who has the power and influence to get black people to get our heads straight, who's supposed to be an advocate for the people, first to God and through to the people, are your black clergy. And you can go from the ultra-conservative Kojic to the more liberal black section of the progressive Baptist.
Well, that's
they
the whole problem, brother. As long as religion is the foundation of that, we're in trouble. There are no,
right.
you cannot show me one theocracy in the world now
yeah,
that works.
I don't know.
That doesn't work. It has to be
secular.
It got to be beyond any religious stuff. We're talking about mundane problems that we have here. It has nothing to do with that. It shouldn't, and that's what the problem is. That should not be the foundation of the people that are going to be helping us. They should come from the people.
I don't think it ever has been necessarily. I would not agree with that so much. even during Dr. Martin Luther King's day, there were very few churches that really held out arms to encompass
that.
The churches did not. They just were not a part of it because they didn't want to be a part of it. They were afraid. They didn't know what would happen. They had already experienced all
they were
attacks and burnings and
they were
all of that.
Accommodationists.
So I don't think
they were accommodationists for white supremacy, and they didn't want to upset their money train coming from the oppressor. Most of these pastors are modern day Negro Quislings, and they also are modern day Parsons. The Parsons sermon was edited by the slave master to keep the slaves obedient. So you know, we're talking about some serious allegations against these black pastors that they were never held accountable. And look, these mega church pastors. I zero in on these mega churches.
But we're not talking about pastors. Let's go back to this concept that we were talking about a little bit earlier. I understand that, you know, people feel that they have this great responsibility in the churches to do that. I cannot ever put all of the responsibility for me on any particular segment of our society. I really don't think that what we are trying to do or is going to be helpful. I think every citizen, there are very few people now that go to church when you look at in the scheme of things. Very few. Even though you have your mega churches, you look at the number of people, it's really probably statistically 15%, and that's being generous, % of this population attend any church. I don't know if you understand that or not. I keep saying it, but people just don't go there. You got your mega churches? Yes. But most people in our world do not go to church. Now, what I will say, I think, and then we're going to close out just a little bit here because we may get cut off before that. But what I wanted to say is that Women United, we have a statement. I don't know if Ashira, we want to issue a statement about the situation with all of these black women that seem to be coming up dead in jail cells. Because there's this new kind of situations that are going on that are atrocities as far as women are concerned. And I don't know, Ashira, do you have that little statement that we want to make? And we want to see if those on the line, and it includes men, it's for women groups and organization and men.
What is that noise? What is that noise? Somebody cooking something with their pots and pans? What's that noise in the background?
I don't know, but I don't know why they didn't put their phone on mute.
Right, somebody
yeah, everybody, if
pans.
You're not talking, yeah, just put your phone on mute.
Yeah, man.
Ashira, is it ready to read, or we want to read it next week?
Let's read it next week. I mean, I can share some of our talking points, like, we definitely want to denounce the attacks, and we feel that, you know, we're all human beings, and we deserve equal justice and equal protection under the law, as well as other entities. And we want to make a statement that this is deplorable, and we're calling on all women's groups and organizations, as well as men that you just mentioned, Mother Hattie, to join us in this call. Action. We're asking that people step up against this violence and speak out against this, and let's organize, let's come up with some plans of action to address this. So we're formulating this statement now. We would love for you to submit any comments that you have, statements that you may think are quite relevant to this, to Women United 777. No, I'm sorry. What is it?
Women.united777@gmail.com.
Okay, let me add that it's not just in jails that these women are facing a lot of stuff. It's also in the military. There's almost a thousand percent incidence of rape and murder in the military. And at this point in time, there has been quite a bit of women that decided to have a military career. It's very important. This one sister that they raped and killed, the doctor.
The ceasefire wireless customer you're trying to reach is not available to accept
okay,
your call.
I don't know.
Please try your call again later.
Announcement
later.
Yeah, man.
That's okay. We're able to get that part over
the
and they're going
wireless
when you
customer
get on a certain
you're trying to reach is not available to accept your call.
So
please try
to
call again later.
Announcement
number one.
It's not in jail cells. It's all over.